1 Samuel chapter number 2. I'm excited. My Wednesday night service has never looked so young. 1 Samuel chapter number 2. All right. Now, we've been looking at the thought from 1 Thessalonians. You say, if we're looking at a thought from 1 Thessalonians, why are you having me turn to 1 Samuel? Well, because it's part of the thought of 1 Thessalonians. And we're looking at specifically the thought of pray without ceasing. And today I was looking at a constant that should always be, a constant custom of prayer for the family. I said that when problems come, we need to pray through our problems. All right? There's some problems that come that will touch us no matter our privileged position. We looked at Hannah and how she was greatly loved. And what happened? Well, because she's greatly loved doesn't necessarily mean that there wasn't a problem that she had to face that could not be handled by herself. She couldn't handle this problem that presented itself before them. And that before her. And what happens is she gets some persecution about this problem, right? One of the people Elk and I had married, Peniah, was making fun of Hannah not having a child, and it greatly wounded her. And sometimes we know that humans can be very, very mean with their words, correct? And she hurt her with her words. Also looked at the thought of pray through the pain, discussing how sometimes our partners won't understand the problems we're going through, and instead of using that as a time to fuss at each other, it should be an opportunity to pray with one another. And then also pray through the problem with an ignorant priest, how Eli didn't understand that the pain she was having, and then finally pray. A prayer's provision produces praise. It shows us divine purpose. The next point I want to look at is stay consistent in your prayers of praise. In 1 Samuel chapter 2, verses 1 through 10, we read Hannah's praise song. Now, William McDonald, before we read this, gives us insight into the background of the prayer. The devotedness of Elkanah's wife and son stand out against the depravity of Eli's family. After giving her son to the Lord, Hannah poured out her heart in thanksgiving. Her words reveal an in-depth knowledge of God, his character, and his deeds. The prayer seemed to be a rebuke of Peniah for the many spiteful things she had said to Hannah, but it is prophetically goes beyond this domestic squabble to the triumph of Israel over her foes and to the eventual reign of Christ. Mary's song, also called the Magnificat in Luke 1:46-55, was obviously influenced by her knowledge of Hannah's song. And if you have the handout, and I did make handouts for your family, grab them after the service, or there will be comparison between 1 Samuel 2, 1 through 10 and Luke 1, 46 through 55. Okay? But I won't do that. You all can read that later. We will read 1 Samuel chapter 2, 1 through 10. And Hannah prayed and said, "My heart rejoiceth in the Lord. Mine horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. Talk no more so exceedingly proud. Let not arrogance come out of your mouth, for the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty men are broken, and they that stumble are girded with strength. They that were full have hired out themselves for bread, and they that were hungry ceased. So that the barren had borne seven, and she that hath many children is waxed feeble. The Lord killeth and maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up. The Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. He bringeth low and lifteth up. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust and lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill to set them among princes and to make them inheritance the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he hath set the world upon them. He will keep the feet of his saints, and the wicked shall be silenced in darkness. For by strength shall no man prevail. The adversary of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Out of the heaven shall he thunder upon them. The Lord shall judge the ends of the earth, and he shall give strength unto his king and exalt the horn of his anointed. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for this word. We thank you that we can come to your word and see this wonderful prayer of thanksgiving and praise for what you have accomplished. God, may we glean some thoughts that can be applied to our personal lives, and can we please rejoice in the word, because the Holy Spirit's presence was made evident through the preaching of your word. May you encourage, may you convict, and may you correct where your Holy Spirit sees fit. In Jesus' name, amen. So, I first of all see praise confidence. If we're to pray in a praiseworthy way, we have to make sure that the confidence in our praise is in the right thing, that it's concreted to the right thing. My heart rejoices in the Lord. Mine horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. We can have confidence in the place of praise, that it's in the inner man. We understand the heart means to, it's some aspect of the immaterial inner self, or being, the heart is considered the seat of one's inner nature as well as one's components. So the inner man. I mean, this isn't a put-on. This isn't an outward put-on. This is flowing out of the inner man. What is happening to Hannah? She has been filled with this relationship with God, that she knows God has answered her prayer. She's prepared her son for the purpose of fulfilling God's plan for her son. And now that she's prepared him to fulfill the plan of God that her son has been given by God, the anointing that God has placed on her son to, for a specific purpose, what is she able to do? She's able to rejoice in the inner man, the man that nobody else can see. This is very important for us to understand, that there needs to be an inner change within our lives to truly praise the Lord. If we're going to praise God through problems, if we're going to praise God because of his great gift to us, we're going to have some realizations that look past this earthly vessel that is breaking down because of sin's curse on humanity and on creation. We're going to have to understand that God has a purpose that goes past what we can see. As Paul tells us in his epistle to the Corinthians, hey, we're going to have to look past the earthy and see the heavenly if we're going to really understand how to praise in a proper way. So praise confidence, first of all, is a confidence in the place of praise. Where is this place at of praise? It's in the inner man. How many of you have ever had to put on a front? All right? I've had to put on a front before. You know, like the old Wild West, where they would have fronts up in front of buildings, and then that wasn't the reality of what was actually behind the front, right? So many times we put these fronts on, these fronts of hypocrisy, these fronts of happiness that aren't the reality of how we're really feeling. And then what do we have to do? Well, we need to take some time to ask God to strengthen us through those times so he can put us in a proper place of praise. We're talking with our mouths sometimes what our reality is not. Secondly, We can have confidence in the person of our praise. So our confidence isn't all only in the place of our praise. It's deep. It's inner. It's past the surface. It has infected our whole being. But we can also take confidence in the person of praise. 1 Samuel 2:1. My heart rejoices in the Lord. An inner joy through who? Circumstance. Through what? Getting lots of money. Through why? Because I fulfilled my deepest desires and my dreams were accomplished? No, it's something that was produced by the great God that supplies all. He supplied great things in creation that he didn't need but that we would need. He will supply great things through us that we need to be able to praise him in a proper way, to have confidence in how we praise him. Sometimes we bow down and we pray, and it is an act of faith. I never want to stop persons from small faith prayer. What does that mean? Well, if you're doing a manner of prayer just to fulfill a custom that you do, or just to fulfill a tradition, then it's the wrong type of prayer. But many of us think that, hey, prayer with little faith doesn't mean anything. No, it means a lot. When you bow and you're coming to God, you're showing, truly coming to God, you're showing that you have faith in something outside of yourself as a Christian. Now, sometimes we bow and we have little faith and we're praying to God to help us, and we get up and it's like the problem comes right back after we get up from our prayer life. You don't need to beat yourself up and then say, I'm not praying properly. What you need to do is be constant in your prayer. The second point I preached 2 weeks ago of this consistency, this cohesiveness of prayer into your daily life. So there's this time that you bow down on your knees and you have great moments of prayer and pouring out your soul. And as you get up and you walk away, it's like the burden comes back. What should you do? Well, then your day needs to be filled with prayer. God, you know I laid this at your altar this morning. You know I have this time that I come to you either at night or in the morning or in the noonday. And I've had these customs that I come in a proper way. And I'm not doing vain repetition. And I don't have the type of faith that is great faith. But I'm showing you I do have faith in you because I'm coming to you. And please help me through this. I understand that this is an interchange that only you can produce. See, faith is something that God produces, not us. And people say, well, you know, this is what I'm trying to say to you. By us coming in prayer to God shows that we have faith in God. It might be a small faith. It might not be a great faith. But what it does show is that we are humbling ourselves to come. What does faith look like? It looks like obedience. It looks like action. It looks like us doing what we have confidence in. So if you have confidence in the person of prayer and you are coming in your praise prayer to the right person, that's good. That's a good thing. And he's going to change you because he has that type of heart. His heart is one, God's heart is one that wants to work with you and wants to bless you and give you confidence. So we're looking at prayer's confidence. The place of prayer is in the inner man. The person that we have confidence is in Jehovah. We can have confidence, thirdly, in the promotion of our praise. Mine horn is exalted in the Lord. My strength is lifted up in the Lord is what it means. Now that's really good. When we can come to the point that we realize that anything that is good that is done for us, that's true praise, is because God did it for us. Not that God owed us, not that God had to do it, but he did it because he's merciful and he's gracious and he showed us his favor. So if you want the true type of praise, you have to realize that you need confidence that the Lord is your promoter. He's lifted up your horn. Now, I was listening to a sermon today while I was driving, and it was about the horn of the root coming out of a stump. The root of Jesse coming out of the stump. What happens? Man, isn't that good? A thing looks dead. A stump looks dead, but there's life in it, right? And we can look at the divinic line, and we can see a lot of dead stumps in the divinic line, can't we? We can see a lot of bad kings. But what did God provide? He provided life out of what looked dead. So Hannah, she looked dead. She looked like she wasn't able to bear a child. But what did God do? He brought life to that which looked dead. And what did that produce in Hannah? So it wasn't some type of plan. This wasn't some type of wives' tale. If you do this and this, then you can have a child. Or if you do that and that, you can have a child. No, this was something that God accomplished through his own power. And that had to show Hannah that God had a purpose for her child. And that she would give that child back to God because it was God's in the first place. So God would take care of that child. And what did he do? He took that which was dead or looked dead and gave life to it. What does that produce in a life? It should produce praise, right? When you are going through life and you see things that only can be attributed to God because it looks dead, fleshly speaking, that should produce praise. And one part that I'm not complaining about in our culture, but might be a hindrance to the faith of our prayer life, is that we have been so blessed that we think that we can make things happen, right? If I just do this and this, then I can make it happen because I did this and this. If I can wiggle the budget this way, then I can make this happen. Well, there will be times in your life, hopefully, that God brings us as Christians to a place that the only person that could help is himself. And at the end, that will produce true praise. Why? Because the confidence isn't what I can do. It's not self-promotion. It's God's grace that gives us praise. So, we've seen praise, confidence. How? Confidence in the place of praise. It's in the inner man. Confidence in the person of praise. It is Jehovah, the great supplier. Confidence in the promotion of praise. My horn is exalted in the Lord. Confidence in the prosperity of our praise. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies because I rejoiced in the salvation. So contextually, we understand that Ruth is speaking of Peninnah, her adversary. However, prophetically, we know that we were the enemies to Satan. And because of God's deliverance through his help and deliverance, we are more than conquerors through Christ. So we know that God, hey, there's a prophetical part of this prayer that applies to us. And what is that? Well, we had a great enemy, didn't we? We had a great adversary. The adversary's name was the devil. He's like a roaring lion walking around seeking whom he may devour. And he tried to devour us in many areas and at many times in our life. And God gave us his protection despite us in many circumstances. Right? Sometimes as a teenager, we were looking for trouble. Sometimes young men and young women, we go out and we look for trouble, or trouble finds us. And we ever feel like when you were younger, trouble found you easily, right? And there were many times that we all can look back at our lives where there were opportunities. And it wasn't because we had this morality, and it wasn't because we were doing so good spiritually. It was because of the grace of God that we weren't conquered by our enemy. Amen? What does that produce? That produces true praise. See, when we think that God owes us something because of how good we are, what does that produce? Well, that produces pride. doesn't produce praise. It produces complaining. It produces something that is contrary to praise. But when we realize that God has enlarged me, my mouth over my enemies, when we realize that God, when people have said things with their mouth that would be truth, okay. As a young person, I don't want to make it about me, but as a young person, many times we face situations where people that are older look at us and say, this person just isn't going to make it. You know those yearbooks, the most likely to succeed? I'm glad we didn't have yearbooks in our school that I grew up in, because if we did, it would be the most likely to be a convict next to my name. I was told that many times. And guess what? God protected me. And he made me, through his grace, to be able to see that negative influence conquered in my life. And hey, I have to admit, sometimes I deserve that negativity. And you did too. We're not victims here. What's my point? We cannot get through life without somebody saying something bad about us. We cannot get through life without somebody saying we're going to be failures. But when we understand that it is God that brought us above that negative influence, we don't say, see, I did this on myself. Look at me and how good I am. We say, praise the Lord that he was gracious to me and caused me to have victory over mine enemy. So, we can have confidence in the place of praise. We can have confidence in the person of praise. We can have confidence in the promotion of praise. We can have the confidence in the prosperity of praise. We also can have confidence in confidence in our praise because of the specialness of the person of our praise. I have another P word, but we'll skip that. 1 Samuel chapter 2:2. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. He is promoted over all. There is none holy as God. There is no plus to the Lord, for there is none beside thee. Look at that. Isn't that good? Look at verse 2 again. He's promoted over all. There is none holy as the Lord. What does holy mean? It means separate. It means separated from all else. Right? When you got married, you consecrated yourself and separated yourself to your marriage partner for life. That's what marriage means. You said, this person's going to be different than all other people. This is going to be part of me, and I'm going to be one with the person through marriage. This is something special. Hey, nobody's like our God. Nobody's holy like our God. Nobody is comparable to our God. Nobody can be added to God. There's no plus to the Lord, for there is none beside me. It's not God and me, it's God. It's not God and good luck, it's God. It's not God and anything else, it's God because of his grace and mercy that we can praise him. There's nothing to be added to God. He is awesomely independent. He needs nothing and no one. He chooses to work with us because he is love. He chooses to show favor to us because he's full of mercy and grace. He chooses to be part of our lives because that's part of his character. Not because we're such a good catch. Not because we're such good people. It's because he's such a good God. Is always near us. We can't run away from the presence of God. He's permanent. Just like A wise man will build his house upon the rock, and a foolish man will build his house upon the sand. A wise man will understand that he needs to build his life on the precepts of God's word. He'll understand that God is permanent. He's always there, even though we can't see him at times and we can't feel him at times. There's a faith that knows he's there that causes praise to the darkest portions of one's life. So praise has confidence. Praise has confidence in the in its place. It's in the inner man, in the person. Jehovah, joy through the Lord. In the promotion, he's my strength. He lifts me up. In the prosperity, my mouth is enlarged over mine enemies. And in his peculiarity, he's special. He's a special person. There's no one like God. Secondly, praise has no room for conceit. Praise has no room for conceit. Verses 3 through 8. Talk no more so exceedingly proudly. Let not arrogance come out of your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty men are broken, and they are they that stumble are girded with strength. They that were full have hired out themselves for bread, and they that were hungry ceased. So that the barren hath borne 7, and she that hath many children is waxed feeble. The Lord killeth and maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up. The Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. He bringeth low and lifteth up. Verse 8. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust, and lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill, to set them among princes, and to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he has set the world up upon them. Praise calls out the conversation of the conceited. Praise has no room for conceit. It calls out the conversation of the conceited. What does a conversation of the conceited look like? Well, first, it's filled with self-promotion. Self-promotion. Talk, verse 3, talk no more exceedingly proudly. Prayer doesn't talk about itself. The true prayer of praise, in fact, it calls out the wickedness of exceeding proud speech. Second, prayer calls out the conversation of the conceited, not only by showing that it's filled with self-promotion, but it's filled with unwarranted pride. Let not arrogance come out of your mouth. Psalms 94:4 says this, how long shall they utter and speak hard things, and all the works of the iniquity boast themselves? Hard things and arrogance is translated from the same Hebrew word. It means to be exceedingly proudful. Notice the command. The command to cease. So we're looking at the conversation of the conceited. We first of all described what the conversation of the conceited looked like. Why are we doing this? Because praise has no room for conceit. True praise never lifts itself up. It lifts God up. So we need to identify what conceited language talks about. In the prayer, she identifies it by saying it's filled with self-promotion and it's filled with unwarranted pride. So what are we supposed to do? Well, there's a commandment to cease. Stop speaking pridefully. Let not prideful words, not let haughty words come out of your mouth. It's not okay to speak pridefully about yourself if you're going to praise the Lord. It's not okay to do like, I think it's Luke 18, remember? Do you remember Luke 18? There's a parable about a Pharisee and a publican. You remember this parable? How does the Pharisee talk about himself? I'm thankful that I tithe. I'm thankful that I give to the poor. I'm thankful that I do all these righteous things, and I'm so thankful I'm not like that guy. And what does the publican do? He begs for God's mercy and grace. Who receives God's attention? The publican or the Pharisee? We know the answer to that. God hears the prayer of the humble, and he rejects the prayer of the proud. So praise calls out the conversation of the conceited and tells them to cease. Notice also that praise acknowledges the comprehension of God. Verse 3, for the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. His comprehension is comprehensive. His comprehension is comprehensive. What does this mean? The Lord is a God of knowledge. He doesn't know some things. He knows all things. Now, I can smile and we can trick each other, can't we? But guess what? God knows if you're being fake or being real. Secondly, his comprehensive knowledge critiques man's conduct. Verse 3, and by him actions are weighed. He knows, is comprehensive, he knows everything about you. See, when we pray, there's no need to lie to God. When we humbly bow before the Lord of the universe and we're feeling certain things, we can tell him because he already knows. Right? And we can ask him for help when we're failing. We can ask him for help when we're hurting. And he'll help us. This is personal prayer, okay? Public prayer, you want to be careful about what you pray for. You don't want to spill all the complaints that you have toward your Heavenly Father in a public manner. That wouldn't be wise, and nobody wants to hear it anyways. But God wants to hear it privately in your prayer closets. He wants to hear. He already knows. He already knows. So, God knows all, and he weighs and judges all. So we've seen praise confidence. We've seen praise has no room for conceit. And notice that praise identifies the care of the Heavenly Father. Praise identifies the care of the Heavenly Father. 1 Samuel 2, verse 4. The bows of the mighty men are broken, and they that stumble are girded with strength. Praise thanks God for his care for us over our competitors. 1 Samuel 2, 4. The bows of the mighty men are broken. These are mighty men that are attacking us. These are bows that would hurt us. Sometimes the tongue is talked about as being bows, and lying words against us are talked about arrows being flung at us, right? We also know from Ephesians chapter 6 that there is a great enemy that comes to us in the evil day. And what do we do? Well, we take the panoply or the armor of God to protect us from our adversary in that evil day when those flaming arrows would come to try to hurt us. What do we do with this? Well, we acknowledge that God can break the bows of the mighty men. How many have ever been falsely accused? You don't have to raise your hand. What do you want to do when you're falsely accused? Well, you want to get up and defend yourself. That's a natural thing. What happens when you defend yourself and for some reason we're negative people and we like to believe falsehoods about others? That's the natural way men think. And the more you defend yourself, the more problems you get and the more deep the arrow is crushed into your soul, correct? So what do you do at that point? You trust in the Lord to break the arrows of mighty men. And when you do that, that results in praise. Because he is now the one that has given you victory over your enemies. Praise shows its confidence in God's care because we're weak. 1 Samuel 2:4. And they that stumble are girded with strength. Remember, Paul says that he went to the Lord to take away a thorn of the flesh 3 different times. And what did God convince him of? That his grace was sufficient for Paul. And that his strength, being the Lord's strength, was made complete through Paul's weakness. How many of you have ever felt or gone through a time in your life where you know the only thing that held you up was God's strength? What does that produce in you? Well, it should produce praise. It should produce praise. So we're weak. We stumble. But when we put our confidence in God, we're girded up with strength. So praise shows his confidence in God's care for the weak, for the wanting. Just remember, there is both personal and prophetical meaning for this. So prosperity, for the wanting and prosperity. 1 Samuel 2:5. Full have hired out themselves for bread, and they that were hungry ceased. Oh, people sometimes in life say, it reminds me of another parable. Remember of the rich farmer that builds barns and says, you know what? I'm going to have such a great harvest. I'm going to tear down my barns and I'm going to grow bigger. And what did God tell him? Thou fool, tonight thy soul is required of thee. Or what about the rich man and Lazarus in Luke chapter 16? Where the rich man, he fared sumptuous every day. And the poor man, he sat and ate the crumbs under the rich man's table. And the dogs came and licked his bones. And what happened when Lazarus died? Well, since Lazarus put his faith in Jesus and put his faith in what the prophecies were of the deliverer, he goes to heaven. That's probably a more proper way. He put his faith in the prophecies of who the deliverer would be. He put his faith in God's one way. A perfect sacrificial substitute that would take his sins upon himself. And since he put his faith in there, he was taken to Abraham's bosom, right? And where did the rich man go? In hell, he lifted up his eyes, being tormented in the flame. So you can gain the whole world and lose your own soul. Anyone that loses his soul is wanting. Anyone that has heaven as his home has gained. So when we're struggling, and when finances aren't where they should be, and when we're struggling and health isn't where it should be, if you're a Christian, you are not wanting. You are full because you have heaven as your home. So even through the time of pain, a Christian is able to praise the Lord because he knows, hey, life is like a vapor, but heaven's for eternity. I'm trying to encourage us today because I know we live, not everything about life is fun. Amen? Not everything about life is perfect. There's heartache in life. There's things that we don't have working quite right physically, mentally, emotionally. But as a Christian, what I'm trying to say is, though you feel hungry now, you are full. Why are you full? Because you have a heavenly home. So, we see that praise shows its confidence in God's care. We're identifying the care of the Heavenly Father. We're thanking God for caring for us over our competitors. We're showing our confidence in God's care because he cares for the weak. He cares for the wanting. He cares for the wanting in prosperity. He cares for the wanting in progeny. 1 Samuel 2:5. So they that are barren hath borne 7, and she that hath many children is waxed feeble. Waxed feeble. The word describes a languishing of a fertile woman with whom God has dealt harshly. We can read how that can happen to a lady in Proverbs, can't we? A foolish son bringeth his mother what? Shame. There are people in this world who have had children that have hurt them so deeply that they live in agony until they go home to meet the Lord. And then there are those that have children, maybe not as many. Maybe there was some famines, if you will, in the raising of their children, and they feel like they've taken five step backs and half a step forward. But through the grace of God, God has given them joy and has made them feel full. Wouldn't this be how Hannah would feel at this time? God giving her a son who she's giving back to serve him. And wow, we that have read the Bible, what a life God had given to Samuel. There's something about a Christian mom who can say that all of her children are in the church serving the Lord and giving themselves to the Lord. There's a praise that flows out of a mom's mouth when she realizes, yeah, kids aren't perfect. Kids make mistakes, but they're serving the Lord. The glory and praise goes to the Lord. Notice the praise of the providential position over life. 1 Samuel 2:6. The Lord kills and maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up. Over prosperity. 1 Samuel 2:7. The Lord make poor and make rich. He bringeth low and lifteth up. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust and lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill to set them among princes and to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he has set the world upon them. One of the most, again, powerful illustrations would be the rich man and Lazarus of this thought. Notice praise for God's preservation, 1 Samuel 2:9 through 10. He will keep the feet of his saints, and the wicked shall be silenced in the darkness. For by strength shall no man prevail. The adversary of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Out of heaven shall he thunder upon them. The Lord shall judge the ends of the earth. And he shall give strength unto the king and exalt the horns of the anointed. God is on guard for his people. He will keep the feet of his saints. Praise God that he is the punisher of the wicked. The wicked shall be silenced in darkness, for by strength shall no man prevail. Praise God, the wicked can't prevail, for by the strength shall no man prevail. The Lord will break the wicked in pieces. The Lord's judgment is in a superior position. Out of heaven shall he thunder upon him. Don't live your life trying to judge the wicked. Don't live your life trying to figure out why on earth the wicked seem to prosper while you fail. Don't look at people that have hurt you. Know that God judges from a more perfect place than you could ever judge, and put your faith in God's judgment. The Lord will be complete in his judgment. The Lord shall judge the ends of the earth, and he shall give strength unto his king and exalt the horn of his anointed. Reminds me of Psalm 2, right? Where God is giving, the Father is giving his son, God the Father is giving God the Son the inheritance of the world. All the kingdoms of the world will be crushed. And what does he say? Kiss the Son, lest he be angry. So if you want to praise the Lord, you need to live a life of humility. You need to live a life of trust in the Lord. And you need to live a life of humility that is against, well, your human inclinations, really. Your pride. Do we want to praise the Lord? Well, what I see is in this is an understanding of God's providential care. What I see in this is a woman that understands praise. She has confidence in the right things. She has no room for conceit in her life. She knows that and identifies the care of the Heavenly Father. She notices and praises God for his providential position over her life. And she notices and praises God for his preservation of her life. That's how we can praise the Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come before you, we thank you for your word. We thank you for how it teaches us. God, that you would use it to mold us more into your image and into your likeness. God, thank you for your word. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that can lead us. May you use your word to work in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.